God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
This man must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius, because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. I'm joined by Leonor Kubota. Hello, Leonor.
Hello, Scott.
So how's your holiday season going?
Well, I think it's going pretty well. How is yours?
Oh, in the thick of it, right?
In the thick of it, yes. Yeah. Lots of parties, a lot of entertaining, lots of Christmas and holiday movies. So it's been a lot of fun.
Starting to get cold. But we've been cheating. We've been cheating winter.
Mild winter?
No. We've been cheating.
Mother Nature. No, I wouldn't complain about the weather so far, but actually it almost
makes me old man winter.
Old man winter, Mother Nature, but I think it's making me a little nervous, because if it's been so mild, it only makes you think that it's going to be a bad winter.
That's right.
So we shall see.
Every time I think, we're escaping it, they get me, you know?
Yeah.
It's always that way, you know? For me, anyway, I think we're going to have a mild winter, and then spoke too soon. But we're just a day away from the new year.
And no better place to be than Times Square, where our billboard is.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. Our billboard is a half a block away from Times Square. We always get a big bump from that, too, because there's just millions of people. I think there's 20 million people that go through Times Square during this season.
Yeah.
And it's kind of neat. So we're going to start off. There's so many places we can go. I mean, there's the shooting in Texas. There's the machete-wielding crazy guy that was attacking the Orthodox Jews. The big Bird de Blasio wants to blame Trump, you know, for this. And you know,
he also wants to blame Trump for the homelessness problem in New York City.
All these things.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of interesting, because Trump said, you know, they'll have to ask me nicely. You know, ask me politely.
He said, Trump says, California and New York must ask politely if they want federal aid for homeless.
You know what that reminds me of? That movie, A Few Good Men.
Yes.
Where Jack Nicholson says, yeah, you can have the aid, but you have to ask me nicely. Sit there in your pretty little white suit and ask me nicely. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that scene? Yep.
That was a great movie. So in any case, there's a lot of this going on where, you know, it's hard to imagine that, you know, you could have such a tragic event of this machete-wielding crazy guy that's been pretty much deemed to be a nutcase. You know, the guy's mentally unstable.
Well, you have the confluence of a few things. You have the radicals who are against Christianity at this time. And then you've got the crazy people. And I'm not trying to be cavalier with this expression, but you have the people that are really on the edge, for whom the holidays is another thing that pushes them over.
Okay. And the thing is that, you know, de Blasio knows firsthand about, you know, that Trump is not an anti-Semite. I mean,
his daughter became a Jew. I mean,
whatever, you know, Jerusalem, the embassy in Jerusalem, you know, all these different things. all the things that Trump has done for all the different groups, you know? And the thing is that what's floating around the internet right now is this great little video where it has these Orthodox Jews, and they say, "Hey, Siri, you know, I better..." Oh, shoot, I just did that. So, you know, and then who's our president? The president of the United States is Donald Trump. And then they start cheering. And so Trump is really resonating with a lot of different minority groups that Republicans typically didn't get. And we were looking back at, we're starting, because tomorrow's show is going to be the year in review.
Exactly. That'll be a lot of fun.
And so we were putting stuff together for that too. And looking back, and you know, one of the things that has happened is so many Republicans have left the Republican Party. And it's because a lot of these Republicans were swamp creatures themselves. And basically, now, that does not include Mark Meadows. In fact, I have a very interesting twist on the Mark Meadows.
Well, he didn't leave the Republican Party. He's just going to be leaving the House of Representatives.
But you got to admit, there's been a lot. I mean, Bob Corker, Jeff Flake, Paul Ryan, all left in disgrace because they hated Trump and they couldn't contain themselves. You know, that's so unprofessional to me as well. But they were just bad actors. Mitt Romney, it's hard to imagine what he's going to be doing with his Senate career, but they'll be short-lived. But, you know, when you take into consideration all the departures and all the shakeup and all the changes that have been going on in Washington, you know, it is an atmosphere that's changing, because it's no longer as lucrative as we might think. But a lot of things have happened over the weekend. Okay, so we got the homelessness banter about the aid. We have these attacks in Texas and in Brooklyn with the Orthodox machete wielding guy. But we have a lot more important things to talk about. We're going to talk about articles of impeachment and a couple of theories going on why the delay. Today, we're also going to be talking about the peace talks in Afghanistan. And in addition, you know, the escalation of violence against with U.S. attacks against Hezbollah, which are Hezbollah, as everyone knows, is backed by Iran. And so that puts us in a direct war with Iran. And Russia isn't being all that helpful either. And they're creating a new alliance with China. And I'm going to explain to you why all that is. But there's also been some other interesting rumors. And in fact, Pompeo is going to be on, has already given an interview with Fox and Friends, actually. So they're going to be...
There's some interesting rumors about people changing positions.
Well, he might be running for Kansas.
Yeah,
right?
The Senate seat in Kansas.
Right. And what's interesting about that is if he were to run for senator of Kansas... Mm-hmm. Right, which they could get a Republican senator. No, in any case, I believe it's Kansas. Right,
right.
But that would leave behind what? That would leave a vacancy at the State Department.
Yes, indeed.
So what will we do there?
Well, you have a few ideas on your Twitter feed. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay. If Pompeo becomes a Kansas senator, this paves the way for Steve Mnuchin or Nikki Haley to become Secretary of State, with Mick Mulvaney filling the Secretary of Treasury vacancy and Mark Meadows or Robert O'Brien filling the vacant Chief of Staff and National Security Advisor position. So that's interesting. I mean, Mulvaney would certainly be very good at the Secretary of Treasury role. And,
well,
you know,
he's really good with numbers.
Well, of course. That's why I said it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when Nikki Haley, you know, brings certain talents to the State Department role, and Steve Mnuchin, I think, brings different talents. So,
well, Mnuchin already has been a key player in all of the international... business that we've
been
conducting.
He has, and of course he's got the financial background, so he really understands how to make all this happen, not just in terms of policy, but in terms of money.
Right, and we would still have a strong national security
exactly.
advisor. So, you know, that to me would be a good team. I like what Trump has put together in terms of his cabinet. And again, a lot of these people that have been advocating for impeachment and really not giving too concerns about what is happening with the Democrat Party and their lack of due process and their attacks on the president and their, you know, basically thinking that their philosophical belief that these Fiona Hills of the world or George Kent's or, you know, Alexander Vindman, right? And all these different key players that are part of this swamp in the State Department that, you know, have been part and parcel of this Ukraine attack. And of course, we got the spooks as part and parcel of the Russian gate attacks. All these hoaxes, right? They're just manufactured, made up, accusations with no proof whatsoever. There's a lack of due process there. And anybody, and I'm talking about some very smart people I've actually had conversations with, anybody who steps up and, you know, throws a blind eye to due process, which a lot of the mainstream media pundits do, a lot of the mainstream media anchors do, they just throw due process out the wayside. That's the end of our republic. That's the end of democracy when we wield power or we yield power to unelected officials. You know, it's the president that gets to determine the foreign policy. When we get back after the break, what we're going to be doing is talking about why the articles of impeachment have been delayed, if not stonewalled. Because you know what? Sometimes you can actually go through the process of a crime, but until you pull the trigger, you know, you can plan the crime and you can, but until you pull the trigger, the crime hasn't been committed. Right now, the crime of this hoax impeachment hasn't fully been committed because it's not been officially submitted. And we're going to talk about what that means after the break. Stay tuned.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And we're back. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. I'm joined by Leonore Carvota. And, you know, we're going to start off talking about these the delay of the articles. There's a lot of reasons why I think these articles are being delayed. One, there would be really no... There's several reasons, actually. They're toying around with a third charge. It's an email or a document that's been transferred around. And we don't know what it is. But again, they're just dangling stuff over the media's head. Like, maybe, just maybe, there's going to be a smoking gun or some word that was, you know, some dangling participle in a sentence, you know, that is going to get Trump impeached or in trouble. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous that they're hanging themselves on, you know, a punctuation, you know, if you will, a comma out of place or an exclamation point.
Well, actually, a comma or a period has made a difference in a lot of documentation and cases.
And that seems to be, you know, how they want to end a presidency and deny, I'm going to say 70 million. I don't think that number is 63 million anymore.
Yeah.
70 million people, they're duly elected president. So, you know, Adam Schiff right now, Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, Nancy Pelosi, they have perpetuated a criminal activity, but they haven't fully committed the crime yet. Once the articles go to the Senate, there's a lot of things that can happen to them. One, the first thing is that you can call Schiff and you can demand the call of the whistleblower. And if they don't if they don't hand those over, then it's game over. You just dismiss it. Mm-hmm. So it gets dismissed for all kinds of technical issues. Like there's no U.S. statute. The Senate would require a U.S. statute. How about direct, how about the witness, you know, although Michael Atkinson, the intelligence community inspector general, who changed the rules, who was working with John Carlin and Robert Stork, and who is part of the deep state and part of the FISA abuse and the initial phase of the FISA abuse. And part of the exposure that Durham's going to expose when Durham's results of his cooperation with Admiral Rogers is exposed, because that's going to involve Stefan Halper, the walrus, who is working as a spy in trapping people like Carter Page and George Papadopoulos and getting these people's emails and their data collection. And those are the 702s that involve the NSA IG, Robert Storch. But Admiral Rogers was there, and he's the whistleblower. So see, Admiral Rogers is a whistleblower. A lot of the people that Giuliani had been talking to in Ukraine are whistleblowers. These are true whistleblowers. And, you know, we can see why they're in trouble, because the deep state's going after them. This whistleblower that is being talked about, whether it's Eric Sierra Miller or not, it doesn't even matter, because more than likely it's a wiretap. And so it's going to, here's what's going to happen is Adam Schiff, I believe, is going to be exposed for spying on the White House, which is going to land him in jail for treason. Because you know, as a congressman, you're not allowed to do that. Just because you're one of the Gang of Eight, which means that you're ahead of the Intel Committee. So the Gang of Eight, you know, is the Senate Intel's chair and co-chair.
Yes.
And the House Intel's chair and co-chair. Then the Speaker and the leader of the Senate. That would make six. And then you have two other ranking leaders. So that's the Gang of Eight. And that's how that's laid out. Who has access to what? And at some point, you know, if Adam Schiff was hiring NSC, National Security Council employees, who were fired from the White House, and they may have planted wiretaps, which is why they detapped, you know, they did all these duck work on the White House, right?
Right.
We all knew it was, you're just, you know, you're taking the bugs out of the White House. Because people like Eric Sierra Miller or Sean Misko or Abigail Grace, who were all hired by Adam Schiff in one way or another, Sean Misko and Abigail Grace hired formerly, and Eric Sierra Miller working as a liaison with the Lawfare Brookings attorney, whose name is Mark Zaid, who has this fantasy with little girls in Disney, and who prides himself on getting people security clearances who have child porn issues. He's tweeted these things out. Anybody who wants to put their head around those things can go right ahead. And at some point, those people are all friends with Fiona Hill, with Alexander Vindman, with George Kent, with Marie Yovanovitch, and with all these different actors and players that were involved with the Ukraine hit job. But a lot of these people also were connected with the Russian FISA hit job. Because we know Fiona Hill got the dossier from Christopher Steele through her friends at Brookings and Atlantic Council and Lawfare the day before it published in BuzzFeed. So we can go all the way back. So all these same players that are involved with Ukraine, whether it be the ICIG who changed the rules and green-lighted a fake whistleblower, Michael Atkinson, who was connected with John Carlin, who was basically doctored and removed exculpatory information from his report the day before he resigned. That's John Carlin. As a result of Admiral Rogers blowing the whistle on weird expenditures going out to Stefan Halper, and all this was happening. So basically what you have is you have Adam Schiff using these assets to spy on the White House. And what we would find out is he didn't just stop there, because then he wanted to find out what Giuliani was doing. He wanted to find out how John Solomon was getting some of his reports. John Solomon's the writer who used to write for The Hill.
Yes.
And, you know, and then Devin Nunes had access to information that even Adam Schiff didn't have, because President Trump was working with him. And then they were trying to figure out, was Devin Nunes meeting with Viktor Shokin in Vienna? So what Adam Schiff did was Adam Schiff spied and got wiretaps. But did he really? Did he get the AT&T stuff, or did he already have that through the NSA, through Robert Storch or something like that, or some faulty 702s that were corrupt? Have they been continually and perpetuating this crime? And so what we're going to find out is that Adam Schiff has not only been working with civilians through Lawfare, Brookings, Atlantic Council, and other oligarchs, even so far as calling, remember when he called the Russian radio show hosts and got
punked?
Punk?
He got punked. He actually believed that they had naked pictures of Trump.
Yeah, now, naked where do pictures you have? Of Trump.
Yeah, exactly. So they did such a good job of vetting.
Adam Schiff and even Mark Warner, I mean, over at the Senate Intel, they've been working overtime on spying on the White House. So it's these congressmen that have been doing a lot of this stuff because this was the path to impeachment. And then they needed to get impeachment. Then they needed to get a Senate trial. But Trump has beat them all. How has Trump won so many battles? By practicing the art of Sun Tzu, the art of war.
It's amazing how frequently that is quoted in films and in television shows. I mean, we heard it in Wall Street. We heard it in The Morning Show. We've heard it in a lot of things.
We're going to actually talk a little bit about that, the art of war, and some of the excerpts. I mean, I've been studying a little bit of this book, The Art of War, because I think it just rings so true as to what Trump's been practicing. And not only that, I don't think he came up with Art of the Deal by accident. I think that Art of the Deal was influenced by Art of War.
You may be right.
And we'll talk about that in more detail when we return.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And we're back. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. I want to actually play a Pompeo clip because it really does bring things current here. So just bear with me here. I'm trying to get this queued up. Hold on.
North of the city. He came back to Harlem. It's something this city is dealing with and an issue as far as attacks against Jews and Christians around the world as well. So here to get more insight on this and many other topics we have this morning, Mike Pompeo, U.S. Secretary of State. Mr. Secretary, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's our pleasure. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on this morning.
Absolutely. Happy New Year. We hope you had a great
Happy
Christmas
New Year to
as
you too.
Well. And we want to ask you about this unfortunate anti-Semitic attack. But as the Secretary of State, you step back and see the whole world and you see the persecution of Jews and Christians. Talk to us about the state of sort of the war on religion, what's happening and what the United States is doing about it.
Boy, it's important to put it into context. We have seen increased anti-Semitism around the world. We've all observed Christians under threat in the Middle East and other parts of the world as well. President Trump has made a true pillar of America's foreign policy, religious freedom, the right of each of us to practice our faith in the way that we desire to do so. And we work hard at this. We work hard. We've got a special envoy who handles anti-Semitism issues. We've got a special envoy, former Governor Brownback, who handles religious freedom issues. We make a real priority working to message about how tragic and unacceptable it is for any nation to persecute any individual as a result of their religious beliefs and their duty to protect these practitioners of their faith in a way that preserves their security and allows them to practice their own beliefs.
Secretary, we've seen over Christmas, some horrific attacks on Christians. And by the way, the most persecuted religion on the planet right now, beheadings, a village attacked, and seven killed there, as well as the kidnapping of a young teenage Christian girl. Why are we seeing this rise in attacks specifically for Christians?
But it's difficult to know precisely what the cause of these increases are. We can begin to identify them. They're different in different places. But, Rachel, as you've seen, too, around the world, respect for religious faith is something that governments have a responsibility to do. I've talked at some length about China and how it's persecuting over 1 million Muslims in Xinjiang province. Leaders all around the world have a responsibility to protect their citizens and permit them to practice their faith. And so there are lots of different reasons for this. I've seen it in Christian communities around the world. We have a responsibility in the United States to work diligently to help protect these Christians wherever we can as well, Rachel.
Absolutely. Mr. Secretary, obviously a huge Fox News alert the other just a moment ago. The U.S. carries out precision defensive strikes across 5 sites in Iraq and Syria in retaliation for attacks by Iran-backed militants following Friday's attack that killed an American contractor and injured U.S. service members. Well, what do we need to know about that, Mr. Secretary?
Well, it begins by an understanding that this was a defensive action designed to protect American forces and American citizens in Iraq. And it was aimed also at deterring Iran. This was an Iranian-backed rogue militia acting to deny the Iraqi people their basic sovereignty. It's Qasem Soleimani, it's the Ayatollah working to expand their terror campaign all around the world. They took a strike at an American facility. President Trump's been pretty darn patient. And he's made clear at the same time that when Americans' lives were at risk, we would respond, and that's what the Department of Defense did yesterday.
Mr. Secretary, this administration has pursued a maximum pressure effort against the Iranian regime. If rockets are being launched against our contractors and our bases in Iraq, you know, as this is approved by Iran, how is Iran responding to this? What do you anticipate from them going forward, their nuclear ambitions? Where are we in our stare down with Iran right now?
So it's the case that this administration made a fundamental shift from where President Obama and his team were. They had green-lighted the Iranian nuclear program. They had allowed this terror campaign to continue. Indeed, they had permitted funds to flow into Iran to support and underwrite these very terror campaigns that we've seen carried out. We took a very different direction. We've put enormous pressure to deny resources to Hezbollah, to try and deny resources to Shia militias like the ones that came after an Iraqi facility in Iraq yesterday, where there were Americans working to counter ISIS. That's what the Americans are in Iraq for, to take down the very terror threats that are protecting, that are putting at risk the Iraqi people. Our mission continues to try and get the Islamic Republic of Iran to behave like a normal nation. We laid out back in May of last year, after the president withdrew from the JCPOA, the nuclear deal, we laid out our demands, our requirements. We just want Iran to stop their terror campaign. We want them to agree that they won't have nuclear weapons, that they won't enrich uranium.
But as long as that regime is there, as long as that regime is there, that theocracy, radical Islamist regime, we can't expect them to act like a normal nation, can we?
Yeah, it's interesting. Look at what the Iranian people are telling their leaders today when they walk in, when they march in the streets. When they march in the streets today, they recognize that it is their leadership that has led them astray. It's their leadership that has denied them the ability to feed their families and to have prosperity and security. I think the Iranian people understand that their leadership's activities need to change, and we have been incredibly supportive of this effort for the Iranian people to get what it is that they so richly deserve, and we will continue to support the Iranian people. I think when they stare at what happened yesterday, where they see Iranian money launching an attack on an Iraqi facility, I think the Iranian people understand that's not the best use of their money either. Hmm.
Mr. Secretary, switching gears just a little bit, as the House Democrats drag their feet after impeaching President Trump, now how is this playing out on the world stage? What are other world leaders saying about this? I would call it a charade.
The circus going on in Washington. Does it affect your job overseas? How are we perceived? Everything has a consequence.
So for the most part, I think the leaders around the world understand that President Trump and his Secretary of State are focused on the missions that we've set out. That they see it. They see the noise here in Washington, D.C. From time to time, they'll comment and shake their heads. But for the most part, I think they recognize we have a mission. My team here at the State Department in 2020 has a set of objectives. We are very focused on this. We are, whatever happens here in Washington, the American people should know that President Trump and our national security team are focused on keeping them safe.
Mr. Secretary, we know that you're beloved in your home state of Kansas. There's a lot of people that want you to run for Senate. Are you going to?
So Susan and I love Kansas, too. It's home. It's where our family. It's where our friends are. You know, Rachel, coming from the great state that you and your husband both love. But it's my intention to stay here and continue to serve as President Trump's Secretary of State. I've said that consistently. I intend to keep saying it. And as long as President Trump wants me to serve in this capacity, there's still work to do.
Right. So I've got to push just a little bit. So you intend, Mr. Secretary, does that mean you write off completely the idea of going back to Kansas in 2020 to run?
You know, I've watched my life take turns that one would never have expected, but it's not something I want to do. I want to stay here and continue to perform the mission that I'm serving President Trump, and I hope doing a good turn for the American people as well.
That was the part, really, I wanted to get to.
There,
and also his comment on the recent events where the United States attacked Iranian-backed Hezbollah, and that's a big deal. Also, you know, there's a little bit of talk about, you know, some of these attacks and the escalation of violence in Syria. Part of that is because the part of the world strategy is they don't want the United States to leave. There's a military industrial complex. There is a supply chain in the black market for weapons distribution where a lot of people are going to end up in the poorhouse that were in the rich house because of these, you know, these. It doesn't take much in terms of weapons and distribute and ammo and all these things to get a congressman $60,000 a month in per diems, right? In payments, is kickbacks. So that's a lot of money, right?
That is
even
a
if
lot
it's $20,000 a month, that disappears all of a sudden and your lifestyle changes.
Absolutely.
Right? So, I mean, and those are small time numbers, but they happen when you get just a small skirmish. Is worth millions of dollars. So, you know, they want the United States to be pulled back in, drugged back in. Trump's not going to make those mistakes at all. Trump's not going to make those mistakes. He's all about Sun Tzu.
The art of war. Yeah, he's all about the art of war. And again, we were talking about this before. And this concept of that there is an art to how you practice diplomacy, just as there is an art to how you handle financial negotiations. I think we're going to hear this theme more and more as we talk about this president, as we talk about the reelection campaign in 2020.
So we're listening to Pompeo talk about his particular run. You and I were talking, Leonore, about, you know, if he were to create a vacancy in the State Department,
who would be a candidate?
We would be looking at Steve Mnuchin or Nikki Haley,
and there may be others as well. I mean,
and if Steve Mnuchin left the Treasury, then you're looking at Mulvaney filling that post, and then that would free up Chief of Staff, and you would probably have someone like a Mark Meadows or a Robert. O'Brien, who is currently in a
isn't he in the trade capacity?
No.
Yeah.
Well, in any case, he's in the security capacity.
Yeah.
And I think he's in an NSA still.
Yeah.
Right. And we would then have.
He's the National Security Advisor. There's too many Roberts.
Yeah.
Thank heavens they have that thing called Google.
You know? That's right. All right, we're going to take this to a commercial break. We'll be back in a moment.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with The Scott Adams Show.
And we're back. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Hope everybody's having a nice holiday season. I'm joined by Leonore Kubota. One of the nice gifts I got this this year was a Kosori, C-O-S-O-R-I,
yes,
air fryer. And I'm telling you, folks, I'm not getting paid to say this, but I would definitely go out and get one. They are really nice machines, these air fryers.
Well, you know, you got another nice little stocking stuffer that you like. You want to tell everybody about your other stocking
stuffer?
Go ahead. Your Trump pen.
Oh, the Trump pen.
He loves the Trump pen.
Where is the... It's
elsewhere, but it has all these great...
I'm going to have to play them for you.
We're going to have to play it. You play it, and it says all these great Donald Trump quotes.
Well, actually, go ahead. Tell them about it.
So while you're getting the Trump pen, what you can do is you can take the Trump pen and it'll say something like, we need a wall, or and we're going to build a wall and Mexico is going to pay for it. And you know, and other quotes that he's made famous as the president. It's not a Trump pen about himself before he became the president. So you don't have any of the apprentice type quotes like you're fired. So it's an exciting new toy that Scott has been really enjoying playing with. And in terms of the future, this is a type of product where you could keep adding and adding because the president was continually giving us material. So do you want to play it for everybody?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
So I've created the buildup and the momentum. So is everybody ready?
Here's the first one.
I will be the greatest president that God ever created.
Here's the second one. You just push the top of the pen.
Look, I'm really rich. I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall. I don't wear a toupee. It's my hair. I swear. I love China. I just sold an apartment for $15 million to somebody from China. Our leaders are stupid. Our politicians are stupid. We will have so much winning if I get elected that you may get bored with winning. I think I am a nice person. People that know me like me. I will be the greatest president that God ever created.
So that was a little stocking stuffer. But I got to tell you that made my day.
Yeah, you were very excited to receive that. So we've been hearing more and more about other Trump products that are out there that they're like building the content right now. So more to come on that. So who knows what other presents you'll get throughout the year?
Yeah, right. You know, I get a lot of Trump gifts, and everybody knows I love Trump. So
can I mention something Christmas oriented real quickly?
Yeah, and then we're gonna,
on our Christmas show the other day, we talked about the history behind the Charlie Brown Christmas special and how the producers who wanted to get it on the air, et cetera, and the whole issue with putting the Bible, the biblical verse on. Well, one of the producers behind it, Lee Mendelsohn, passed away on Christmas Day. So I was literally just talking about him a couple days ago. So how ironic that somebody who is so iconic with that special dies on Christmas.
Tidings of great joy.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was a really great special. I'm also a Vince Guaraldi fan.
Exactly.
So, you know, one of the things I was reading, Jack Posobiec was responding to something. So there was an email, there was a tweet. Don't worry, Trump's monitoring the situation, right? And so, you know, it was basically in response to U.S. companies like AT&T are forcing workers to train their own foreign replacements. And, you know, it says so much. And then he said so much monitoring. But really, you know, when you think about it, the monitoring is such that, you know, Trump also with the deep state, a lot of people want to see heads roll. But you take a look at Elijah Cummings. He's gone, right?
Yeah.
John McCain's gone. A lot of this stuff happens without you even firing
your
shoulder.
And we've also just heard about John Lewis.
Yeah, but before I get in trouble here, I'm not belittling or I'm not demeaning the importance of one's life. What I'm saying is that, you know, I truly believe Trump practices the art of war. And I think he's well schooled with Sun Tzu. And I quoted a few quotes from Sun Tzu related to what Jack Posobiec sent out. And I said this in quotes, Sun Tzu: in the practical art of war, the best thing of all is to take the enemy's country whole and intact. To shatter and destroy it is not so good. The supreme, and then another quote, the supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting. And also another Sun Tzu quote, he will win who knows when to fight and when not to fight. So you pick a time of your choosing. You don't go, if you want to, you know, and if you wanted to, if you were the Germans and you wanted to have France, you don't blow everything up and then have a pile of rubble.
Yeah.
You know, you want France intact. Whatever it is, the art of war. So Trump understands that the best victory is one that's stealthy, unpredictable, maybe not as sexy, but yet, you know, achieves the goal with the least residue and or least baggage. And I believe he's done that. You know, a lot of this stuff, I think he understood that McCain wasn't going to be around for a while. There was a $16 billion fraud scheme going on with Cummings' wife. He didn't go after him. He got wind of the idea that Cummings wasn't going to be around and decided, well, let attrition take its toll. He didn't need the optic of that win, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, and so and he waits. He monitors the situation, and he looks for timing.
Well, you know that expression, choose your battles.
Yeah, but also, like, even in wrestling, which right now there's the Midlands going on in Chicago, great wrestling tournament. A lot of times, you actually can leave one of your arms in the behind you, and it gives less opportunity for your opponent to hook onto one of your limbs, and it's a tactic. And so, you know, the less exposure you have, the better. Now, Trump gives a lot of exposure, but in a very strategic way. And I think that he understands, well, one of the things I think that has been underestimated about Trump is his patience. He's very patient. You know, people are talking about North Korea. Are they going to fire the weapon or are they not going to fire the missile? And Trump just basically said, well, I would be really disappointed if they did. Right. If they really, if they, I'll be really disappointed if they fire that missile. And of course, there'll be consequences because, you know, this guy violated a contract. The deal was a deal. And right then it puts Kim Jong-un in a very small position because he's no longer, he was extended and afforded trust that he never earned. Right. And I kind of practice this in my own life. I'll give people trust. I'm not one of these skeptics that doesn't trust anybody. I'm someone who trusts everybody until they prove that they're not trustworthy. How about you?
I mean, I'm exactly the same way. I mean, you really need, you know, you need to trust, need but to verify. People,
But yeah, trust but verify.
I trust you until you give me reason not to. And then if you give me reason not to and then you lose my trust, it's going to take you a while to get it back, if ever.
Right. Right. So, you know, there's that. There's Russia. You know, Russia... and they're meddling with China right now. And then China itself, you know, he's dealing with a lot of different pieces on the chessboard. And then he's got little Adam Schiff that he has to deal with, which doesn't help. But again, he's waiting that out. And his patience is actually the best weapon that Trump has against the Democrat Party today. And with that, brings us to the end of our show today. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. My name is Scott Adams.
My name is Leonora Crivetta.
And we'll see you next time on the radio. Bye-bye now.
I'm from a small town in Tennessee, a long way from the suits in D.C., but close enough now to see this mess. Where I stand, the mound's getting steeper. I grab a shovel, dig a hole a little deeper, just to bury my kids right up to there.